Bibles, you want to turn with me over to Acts, I think it's the 21st chapter, 22nd chapter, Acts chapter 22. We're going to continue in the vein that we begin in this morning, talking a little bit more about the Apostle Paul, and this is entitled this afternoon, Chosen of God. And Apostle Paul was chosen of God for a very specific ministry. He was called, commissioned, and anointed to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. We know he was educated, had very strong convictions, and was dedicated to serving the Lord. He was a Hebrew convert, having been baptized in the Holy Ghost and set apart by God for this special ministry. After his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, he spent several years preparing himself for the call of God in his life. He didn't just hop out there and go to preaching. He spent 3 years. He saw Peter, and he spent 3 years. And then he went another, I think, 13, 14 years out on the backside of the desert studying and listening to God, hearing from God, before he really got into real full-time ministry. So he prepared himself. He prepared his whole life for this, but then he prepared himself some more after he was Spirit-filled to go into full-time ministry. When he came on the scene as a born-again Christian, all the world should have rejoiced. He was an ambassador for Jesus Christ like none before him. And there are five things about Paul in our text today I'd like to briefly share with you. So let's read our text. Apostle Paul, one of the great men of God. Hebrews 22, verses 1 through 21. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. And also, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound into Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell into the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all the things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up on him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see the just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when I came up to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And saw him saying unto me, Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I am in prison and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, I was also standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Well, Father God, again today we open this bread of life. We ask God your anointing upon the messenger, these lips of clay, and upon our ears to hear what the Spirit would say to us concerning this passage of Scripture. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord, so we might learn of you in Jesus' name. Now, first thing we see here about Apostle Paul, there's five things I want to go over. It won't take us too terribly long this afternoon. In verse 14, we see, and it said, and he said, the God of our fathers has chosen thee. Apostle Paul was chosen. He was chosen of God to be a great ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. He was chosen. There's not very many men been chosen like he was, but he was chosen. There's been a lot of chosen, but he was a very special person to take the word of God to the Gentiles around the world. And he was faithful to that which he was chosen to do. Many times people are chosen and they've been called to do certain things. But when it gets right down to it, the old say, the rubber meets the road. They don't fulfill their calling. They don't go on through and get ready for the calling. They don't do what God's asked them to do. I would say this to you today as we look at Galatians chapter 1, 15 and 16. Paul said this, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son to me that I might preach him among the heathens, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. When Paul was called, he understood that it was a call from God. It wasn't men calling him to do something. It wasn't men sending him like he had been sent before. It was God who had arrested his spirit, arrested his mind, and said, Paul, I've got a work for you to do. Now prepare for it. And Paul says here that God revealed his son to me that I might preach him among the heathens, and immediately I didn't confer, I didn't talk to, I didn't gossip with, I didn't go seek counsel of flesh and blood. I listened to the Spirit of God. How many times would you and I be much better off if when we are asked to do something of God, instead of going and seeking ungodly counsel or counsel outside of the will of God, if we would seek God and let the Spirit of the Lord lead us instead of, now I know the Bible says, and I believe in this with all my heart, in the multitude of counsel there is wisdom. But oftentimes as people hear from God, God begins to move in their lives, and instead of seeking out godly counsel or seeking out God in prayer, which is work, by the way, they'll go seek out somebody that don't even really know God. Somebody's not even spirit-filled. Somebody that ain't even really gotten good and saved yet, and they'll take their advice on how to live for God. I by goodness, I don't understand it. Do you? It becomes a problem in this church. Instead of seeking out godly counsel, they'll flock to one another. But Paul said, I didn't confer with flesh and blood. I didn't confer with flesh and blood. Neither did I go to Jerusalem and talk to the other apostles before me. But I went out into Arabia and I returned then again to Damascus. He said, after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to see Peter, and then I was with him for 15 days. And he said, and other than the other apostles, I didn't see any except James, the Lord's brother. And after that, he said, I went once again back into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches to Judea, which were in Christ Jesus. He said, they didn't hear of me, and I was out there. I believe one passage of Scripture said he was out there about 14 years. Well, anyway, he was out there for quite some time, and he didn't confer. He received his revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has received his education from the Lord Jesus Christ. I was in a meeting Thursday night, and the preacher was a young man, and I applaud him. He's been to about two different Bible schools and preached and pastored two or three different churches, and he's a really good preacher, a very knowledgeable guy, and he flows with the gifts of the Spirit and all that stuff, but not everybody's had that opportunity. But the main thing is this: that young man can go to all the schools he wants to go, but if he's not led of the Spirit of God, he's not going to flow with the gifts of God, and the things of God are not going to be revealed to the people he's preached to until he gets alone with God and finds out what God wants to tell the church. And so I applaud him for that, and he does that, and he flows with the gifts. But Paul said, I didn't confer with anybody. I got off by myself. I fasted. I prayed. I sought God. Why? Because he was chosen of God, and the revelation that he had was given to him by Jesus Christ, and he wasn't going to mess it up. And I don't think he did. We got one passage of scripture, I believe it's in Acts, and where Paul was about to be arrested, and a prophet come to him and said, "I perceive that the man that wears these garments, you know, is going to be bound and taken captive." And Paul didn't take it as a warning; he took it as not as a warning not to go, but just as a warning. This is what's going to happen to you when you go to Jerusalem. And all the people there with him said, "Don't go, don't go. They're going to bind you up. They're going to take you prisoner." He said, "I'm going, because it's the will of God." Any person that hadn't had a revelation of God and hadn't been seeking God and wasn't really chosen of God, when they said, "You're going to be taken captive and you're going to go to jail," they'd have said, "Well, I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm taking the next ship back to Greece. I'm going somewhere besides here." They'd been like Jonah. But he didn't. He said, "I'm going to Jerusalem. If they take me captive, they take me captive. If I die for Christ, I die for Christ." Why? Because he was chosen of God. He had a revelation from Jesus Christ, and he was willing to do whatever it took to fulfill the gift and calling of God in his life. Church, think about that for a moment. You that are here today, we need to be willing to do whatever it takes to fulfill the gifts and calling of God in our life. And secondly, Paul was chosen to know God. In the same verse, chapter 14 of the book of Acts, the 22nd chapter, it's the very same verse I've already read. And it said he was chosen of God. Let me read it to you. It's when the Lord, I'm in the wrong chapter there. And he said, "The God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see the just one." He was chosen of God. God chose him, and he was chosen to know God's will. He said that thou should know his will. God wants you and I to know God's will. It's not something that can be that should be taken lightly, but it's something, and it's not something that you can't know. And I know it's difficult sometime, and I've sought God about certain issues and about certain things and about the will of God for my life. And there's times that it seems like God is silent, but you can know God's will, and you can have an assurance down in your heart that this is God's will for you for this time. And so you need to seek out God's will for whatever it is you do in your life. You see, Paul knew he was chosen from his mother's womb. Even I believe Paul was separated in one passage. I think it's Galatians 1:15-16, where we already read he was separated from his mother's womb. And I believe he is saying there that when I was born, God had already decided that he was going to choose me, and then he was going to reveal his will to me. But it took me a while to get there. But God, I believe he knew that God had already separated him for service. I believe he thought he knew he was called from birth to serve God. I believe for my own personal time of service in the church, I believe that God called me from my mother's womb to be a preacher. I believe that with all of my heart. I felt it as I was growing up. I haven't said this very often, very few times, in fact, and I wouldn't have told my wife this at all until we got good and saved, because she wouldn't have wanted to go with a preacher. But I'd always want to mimic the preachers. I'd keep it to myself a lot of times. I didn't play church a lot because to me it wasn't something to play. But I always wanted to be like them preachers. I liked some of my pastors. I love Brother Martin, and I love Brother Leroy, and I like Brother Jack Gray. And there's the three main ones that I can remember that I just as a teenager coming after I got past. There's some of them younger other guys at the Oklahoma City we went to, Mother. I don't remember some of their names. And Curly Mayfield, he could preach the house on fire. And he's an old holiness guy, and he could just preach up a storm and never use a scripture. He's one of those. Brother Johnny McLaughlin posted a post on Facebook today and said, or yesterday, he said, don't you just long for those times when the Spirit of God would get, the preachers would never have a outline. They'd just get up there and just open the Bible and go to preaching. Well, that's all good, Sister Carol, but sometimes you need an outline. Sometimes you need to stay, so you stay with the program. So you stay with what God wants you to get and give the church, and you don't just get out there going, you know, all these different, because it's bad enough for me anyway to get different directions sometime. And if I didn't have an outline to draw me back to where I need to go, I'd preach to y'all a couple hours sometime. I'd wear myself plumb out and make y'all mad. But Paul knew what he was chosen to do. He was called from his mother's womb to preach. I remember when I was about 17 years old in high school, and I was running from God just like crazy. I was wanting to do all kinds of things I hadn't ought to do, and did some of them, and then got caught doing a few, and didn't get caught doing all of them, got caught some of them. But I knew then I was called to preach. I felt it. But I didn't do anything about it. I didn't do anything to prepare. I didn't get my heart right with God. I just kept running from God. But then when he did finally arrest me, I finally got arrested when I was about 21, probably, somewhere. And he finally arrested me. I still didn't go to preach until I was in my early 30s. But I started preparing, started listening, started watching, started getting my heart right, started getting my life right. And then God showed me for sure. And I was driving a truck at the time, and I drove that truck 5 years, the most miserable years of my life, I think, that 5 years driving that truck. I hated it. But he'd talk to me when I was out by myself. He'd talk to me. I'd be driving along, miserables all get out, and he'd start singing a Henson song. I love the Hensons. I'd sing a Henson song. I might sing, "I'm so glad he found me. Wrapped his love all around me." Something like that. But as I, you know, I just love the Henson. I'd start singing the Henson song, and then I'd start preaching. I'd come home and tell my wife, "I'm called to preach." I say, "You're a nut, and you're not called to preach. Now quit it." And she might call me, "You stupid jerk," or something like that, too. I don't know. Oh, she just does that when I scare her. I'm glad it ain't something else, but anyway. anyway, I'm moving on. Well, point is this. God has given us all a purpose. Yours may not be to preach. It may not be to teach. It may not be to sing a song or lead worship. But God's given you a purpose. And he's placed it in your heart, and you ought to prepare for it and be ready to use the gifting and the calling that the Lord has given you. He's called you. He's chosen you to know his will. He chose Paul. He chose you to know his will. And so we've been set apart by his grace in order to serve God and his son, so his son can be revealed through us. You're a school teacher or a business owner, or whatever it is, a concrete man, or whatever it is, worker at Tinker that sits there and plays on Facebook while the machine's running, whatever it is that your job is. Retired senior citizen, God still has a purpose for your life. He still has purpose, and so we gotta do that. He wants us to reveal Jesus. He wants you and I to reveal Jesus in our everyday lives and how we live for him. And so we've been separated from sin and this present evil world. See, Paul was chosen. He was set apart to know his will of the just one. And so in Galatians chapter 1 verse 4, and I believe Caleb's going to put it up there for me. Who gave himself, speaking of Jesus, for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So he wants us, he has delivered us, he separated us from this evil world so that we might be a light to those who are in darkness. If we don't let our light shine, you know, and you turn these lights out today and it'll be dark in this room. But one little light will drive away the darkness. One small light will drive away the darkness in this large sanctuary. I guarantee you, because I've done it. Just one little light. You need to be a light in this dark world. You've been chosen. You've been called. God's will's been revealed to you so that you can be a light to the lost and dark world, lost and dying world, this dark world we're living in. And so we've all been given the grace in order that God might reveal himself in us. And so, he wants to live in fellowship with us. He wants us to live in fellowship with him and witness Jesus before this world. And Paul knew that, and Paul did that. So being separated, the Bible said that Paul was chosen. He was separated unto God. A person being separated with God. Being separated means a person with God, for God, and near God. Living in faith and obedience for God's glory and the manifestation of his Son. That's why we're to live. We're to manifest him. We're to live for God's glory and for the manifestation or the lifting up, the revealing of Jesus Christ to those around us. When they see us, they ought to see Jesus. I'm not Jesus. Neither are you, but they ought to see something of Jesus in you. So we're separated. Then Paul was chosen to see Jesus. He was chosen of God. He was chosen to know God's will. And he was chosen to see Jesus. And again, in verse 14, it says, "And the God of our fathers have chosen thee, that thou should know his will, and see the just one, and should bear voice, and should hear the voice of his mouth." So he was there to see the just one. He saw Jesus on that road to Damascus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, Paul said, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord?" He's talked to the church at Corinth. He says, "I am an apostle. I am free. I have seen Jesus." Now, I haven't seen Jesus like Paul seen Jesus, but I've experienced Jesus. I've not had a revelation of Jesus like Paul did, and neither have you, I'm sure. But we have seen Jesus. And we need to share Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 8. Again, Paul talks about seeing Jesus. In chapter 15, verse 8, he says this, "And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time." When the time was right, Jesus revealed himself unto me. Paul said, "Last of all," it must not be taken absolutely. He was the last of the apostles in a defined sense to receive a special commission through a personal meeting with the risen Lord in order to participate with the risen Lord, and form the foundation and a fundamental testimony for the Lord. But he is a part of the foundation. He is a direct messenger and a witness of the risen Lord. And so you and I are too. He's gone on. He laid a foundation. We're building on the foundation. And so, and I'm going to tell you something, church. If we're not careful, the foundation's going to crumble. Or the walls on the foundation will crumble. We've got to keep building the house. Every house that I've ever lived in, I've lived in two, three, four. I lived in several when I was a kid. But every one of them, if they needed repair, you might ought to do the repairs or they're going to crumble down on the foundation. If you don't have the proper foundation, the foundation will crumble. But we have the proper foundation in Jesus Christ and the foundation of the apostles. It's not going to crumble, but the house we're building on it will if we don't stay in the faith. So Paul said we got to stay in the faith and said and we're on a firm foundation. He said, "I've seen Jesus." And then 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, he said this, he had a vision of the Lord. "It's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knows. Such an one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will glory not, but in mine infirmities." And he goes on, I desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, I forbear not, lest any man should think of me above which he thinks, or should think. But Paul saw the Lord. Then he had a revelation of the Lord, and he had an out-of-body experience into heaven. That's what he's saying there. He didn't say it was him. He said, "I know a man," but it was him. He was not trying to glory in himself, trying to be puffed up in what he got to see, but said, I went to heaven. I saw paradise. I saw the Lord. I witnessed him in heaven. And he spoke to me some things that it's not really lawful for anybody to hear. He saw revelation. Isn't that exciting? Wouldn't you like to see a revelation? I'd scare you half to death. Well, we're going to go one of these days. We're going to see him. So he got to see Jesus. And so he was letting them know, "I've seen Jesus. I've been into the third heaven." And you say, "Well, what in the world? There's three heavens?" Yeah, the first heaven is the atmosphere that surrounds our earth. The second heaven is that of the stars and the universe, the galaxies out there. And then the third heaven, also could be called paradise, is the abode of God and the home of all the departed believers that's going on before us. Its location is not totally revealed to us, but it's somewhere beyond the atmosphere. It's somewhere beyond the galaxies. It's out there somewhere, and God has not revealed it. Now, you can go, I don't know how many miles they've let the Mars is, and it's beyond Mars and Jupiter. One of these days we're going to pass the sun, moon, and the stars, Jupiter, Venus, and Mars. We're about to get out of here and head towards heaven. But then the Bible also says, John said, I saw Jerusalem, heaven, New Jerusalem, coming down. We're going to heaven one of these days. Isn't that exciting? Paul said, I've been there. Jesse Duplantis and some of them preachers have talked about going to heaven, how vivid and how bright and how beautiful it is. And I'm not going to doubt that they saw it. They said they saw it. They say they saw it. I guess they did. I don't know. I've never saw it like that. But I know it's a beautiful place. You know, that's another old song. Heaven's a glorious place. I'm saved by amazing grace. I'm just about to win this race. It's heaven and it's mine. Castles here crumble down. Men's hearts fail them all around, but there's a place that won't be found. It's heaven and it's mine. I'm going to heaven. That blessed old rock of ages. So anyway, we're heading there one of these days. And Paul was chosen of God. He was chosen to know God's will, chosen to see Jesus, and he was chosen to hear his verse. And we go back to verse 14 of our text today, and he heard the voice of the Lord talking to him. And church, I tell you something today. We can hear the voice of the Lord clearly if we'll just open the eyes of our heart. The ears of our heart. If we'll just open our ears to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, I believe we can hear God speak to us even today in our prayer time. But it's going to take some prayer time. It's going to take some time of supplication and some time of getting still and some time of real genuine prayer. Not just these superficial prayers that we pray oftentimes. These times of our, we haven't worn no calluses on our knees in a lot of years. We haven't wore a pair of pants out in a lot of years. We haven't we don't pray like we used to pray. We don't supplicate and get down serious with the Lord like we used to. But Paul and them knew about praying. They knew about getting serious with the Lord. Our old time, our fathers that's gone on before us, they knew what it was like to pray for hours on end seeking God. I don't know how they had time for it, but they took time. And I don't know how they studied the Word like they did, but they took time. But they heard from God. And I believe this modern day church can still hear from God. Sometimes we'd rather receive our revelation out of the newest book by the latest and greatest new author. The latest preacher to come up with a revelation from the Lord, we'd rather read about it rather than experience it. But Paul heard from God. And if Paul heard from God, you can hear from God. God's no respecter of persons. God will call you, choose you, speak to you, and reveal himself to you just like he will anybody else. If we're willing to pay the price. Because you're called chosen vessel too. You may not be a preacher, but you're called and chosen. And so God, he heard his voice. And then he was called to be a special witness to all men. In verse 15 of our text, it says, and Jesus speaking to Paul said, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast heard, hast seen and heard. So be a special witness. Be his witness unto all men. I should not a special witness. He was a special witness. But he was a special witness to all men. Well, God's not a respecter of persons. So him not being a respecter of persons, it's very likely, highly likely, that he'll use you to speak. He'll use you to witness. He'll use you to shine your light. He'll use you for his glory to win the lost, to tell somebody about Jesus. Somebody's got to do it. Might as well be us. Somebody's got to win a soul for Jesus. It might as well be us. I got a really nice card this week, and if I hadn't done anything else in this church in 28 years, I think I saved a family. I know it's been more than that, but I got a card from a young man this week. I say young man, he's 40 or 41 years old now. He came to our church when he was 13 years old. Got saved. His mom and daddy come to our church and got saved. His daddy was an alcoholic for all this young man's life. His daddy was an alcoholic until he got saved. Never could get him off his cigarettes. Except for a 2-week period when he was in the hospital. But he got saved. Somebody say, well, them cigarettes are bad and they send you to hell. I don't know if they'll send you to hell. They might make you smell like you've been there. And they're not good for your health, I guarantee you that. And I've got, my daddy smoked when he shouldn't have been smoking. He'd sneak around and smoke. He shouldn't have. He died prematurely because of it, I really believe. Had heart disease, got throat cancer. He died prematurely. He was like a kid, mother. They're harmful. I just want to say that to you. They're harmful. But this man kept smoking. He ended up with cancer. When we was remodeling our church, we've had this all built. He helped build this. And he's over there. He's had cancer. And he'd use a jackhammer and helped us. Remember that, Brother Tom? Brother David. He'd use a jackhammer and help me bust out the concrete. Help me break up the old tile. Worked hard with cancer. Dying of cancer. Didn't know it at the time, but he was. But his son wrote me a card this week. He said, Brother Dennis, I just want to thank you for introducing me to Jesus and Dr. Pepper. He's 13 years old and he'd never had a sip of Dr. Pepper in his life. When they went out to eat, they were lucky if they got to go. They went to McDonald's and got a Happy Meal. That's all they got. But he said, I'd never had a sip of Dr. Pepper till you bought me one day. He got hooked on them, by the way. He's an addict today. But he thanked me. He said, I want to thank you because of you. My children are not being raised by an alcoholic daddy. Because of you, my children are being raised in the house of God. Because of you and your willingness to preach the word and open a church, I'm saved, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm pastoring a church today because of you. I'm not saying that to brag, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, we got to be a light. If I had refused to fulfill the calling of God in my life to start this church, there's countless souls. I know there's not we're not a big church today. I understand that. But there's been countless people get saved in this church and go on into ministry or go to other churches. I wish they'd stayed here. We'd have been 1,000, 2,000 people by now. We would have. We probably had sold this hill, probably had to got rid of this hill and got us another one. Wouldn't have had room for everybody. But if I'd refused to do what God called me to do, spoke to me to do, revealed to me to do, and I'd listened to man, I'd still be attending the Pentecostal Church of God in Tecumseh, sitting on about the fifth pew, not doing anything. Probably not doing anything except help mow the lawn. But I didn't listen to man. I listened to God. And Paul was the same way. He could have still been persecuting the church, going against the will of God, been a good man, but he would have missed the will of God, and countless souls would have went to hell. God would have had to raise up somebody else to go to the Gentiles. I believe that if we hadn't started this church, God would have raised somebody up to open this church back up because there was people in this community that needed Jesus, and this was their opportunity. Amen? So that's not to brag on, that's to brag on Jesus. I'm glad I was an instrument of his righteousness for this time. God's been good, hadn't he? God's been good. So we're all been chosen to witness. You don't know. The life you may touch might be the next Billy Graham, should the Lord tarry. Might be a missionary to the worst area of the world, but only that person could reach because you witnessed to them. They got saved, and they're now serving Jesus in the mission field. So anyway, be a light. You've been chosen of God. Do God's work. Make full proof of your ministry, whatever it is today. Amen. Amen. Let's find a place to pray.